Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We talk some more about this TikTok stuff with Kara Frederick tonight. We go into the communists erasing history once again. Why do they do that type of thing? We do in-depth analysis of legal stuff with Bill Jacobson, Julie Kelly. I don't even know how we're going to get it all tonight. I don't mind. Let's talk about communists and what they want. It's a great day to do that because it's a great example of it out here. And before we get into that, I want to say something because it's going to tie into everything we're going to say here. People will ask me oftentimes, you know, I joke about being an oracle. I'm certainly not an oracle. I'm just a dude. But I do make some calls that turn out to be correct, probably a lot of them. Why? People will ask why, because everyone knows, you know that I'm stupid. I'm stupid and uneducated. I went to community college. So why do I see things coming and then they come? Well, here is why I see them and some people do not. Maybe you don't. I see it and you don't because you're a good person and I am not. As a good person, you probably want to believe what is best in other people and always assume the best about other people. And that's a good thing. I don't want you to lose that part of your nature. Me, I'm a bad person. I don't assume anything about people. In fact, I naturally am suspicious about people. And therefore, when somebody who is a blank slate in my mind tells me who they are, what they want, what they believe, I believe them. You, if you're a good person, and somebody tells you they hate you, and they want to destroy you and everything you care about. As a good person, you will probably say to yourself, oh, wow, I don't know, understand why. Did I do something to you? Is it me? Is it my fault? Are you just confused? Hey, let's get you some help. And all that stuff's fine. I'm not saying you're bad. But me, I simply take what they're saying at face value. And I understand that they have declared me to be the enemy. And they want to destroy everything I care about. That's what Democrats are today. Democrats today are communists. They want to burn everything down. The reason you look around and you keep getting confused, why would they ruin this? How could they ruin Sesame Street? Oh my gosh, they're ruining football. The reason you keep getting confused is because you haven't yet accepted that they just want to burn everything to the ground. Jesse, why would they open up the border? Then all these illegals, they have to live with them too. You just haven't accepted that they want to burn everything to the ground. These people have been taught, many by their parents, almost all of them by their schools, by the media, by Hollywood, by their friends, for their entire life. Democrats in this country have been taught that America is the height of all evil. I know it's insane. I know these people are crazy. But believe me, they think about America, the country they live in, like you would think about Nazi Germany if you were a German citizen in the year 1940. I know that's insane. I know everything you're saying right now, that's crazy. I know, but that's how they think of it. They believe it is their high calling to take away everything you love. And they think they're the good guys. In Maryland, Kayla Elise Carter is her name. I actually want to give her a lot of credit. People will think I'm angry with her just because she's a filthy communist, but I'm not. I applaud her for coming out and just saying it. And once again, bringing home what I tell you all the time. You see, she has social media posts calling the police white supremacists. She doesn't like it when white children look at her. And she also has one out. Maybe you think I was radical with what I just said, but she said, quote, this is on her cover photo, "I can't wait for society to collapse so my ideology can rise from the ashes." And that is why they do what they do. They really do want to destroy everything. Pol Pot, what's the first thing he did when he took over Cambodia? Pol Pot and his communists, when they took over Cambodia, what did they declare? They declared that this was, what? Year zero. It's kind of a weird thing to say. It almost sounds like a science fiction-y thing to say. Year zero? What's that mean? Well, you see, this is the beginning of time. Nothing else came before. There is no history. You have no history. We've destroyed all that. We've destroyed your country. And now, here in year zero, we will build anew. What do you think was really about all that destruction of history after St. George Floyd died? Do you think these people did that because they're worried about slavery? They're always probing you to see what gets to you. And they are now using it to accomplish what they want. To destroy our past, to make the next generation and this generation think America is an ugly, trash, gutter trash society. We need to wipe out history. Why would we wipe it out, remember? So then they can remake it. They destroy your history so they can build your future. They destroy everything so they can build your future. I can't understand why they destroy the border. Jesse, why would they destroy the schools? Why would they destroy the hospitals? Why would they destroy the NFL? Why would they destroy Hollywood? Why would they destroy this? Why would they destroy the FBI? Why would they destroy the military? Well, don't take it from me. Listen to the latest communist who got honest once. If they burn everything down and declare year zero, then their sick, demented religion, they believe, will finally be able to rise from the ashes. You see, your freedoms, your guns, your freedom of speech, your car, your meat, your everything, you're what is holding the world back. If you would just die, or in the very least go away, then the true religion can rise from the ashes. And that is really what people believe. And people in very, very high places in this government believe that. They do. Did you see the latest from James O'Keefe? And I want you to know this super freak that James O'Keefe is speaking to in an undercover fashion here is not some nobody. He works as an associate director in the Defense Department. These are the people who now occupy positions of power in this country.
Why not just have an open border? Yeah, tear down the wall.
I would like to do some work on the state's monopoly on violence.
State's monopoly, what is that?
It's the idea that the state, meaning the country, is the only sort of legitimate purveyor of violence and force of force. We're the only ones with guns, right?
Man, they always shout Second Amendment, Second Amendment.
I think we should repeal it.
Maybe you're wondering why that dude with the beard sounds like a chick. Well, that's a good thing to wonder. Here's why.
So I had bottom surgery.
Bottom surgery?
Yeah.
What happened?
What do you mean?
Your bottom surgery.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Yes. Understood.
It's not like a huge deal. It's just painful.
I didn't do any bottom surgery or anything like that. How does that work? Like if we were to be physical intimate. I've never been with someone who has had a procedure.
The plumbing's different.
These are the people who occupy positions of power in this country. That person, that very sick individual, is there wanting to destroy everything all the time. You must understand, as good of a person as you are, you must understand and accept that about the people we face, otherwise you're going to be confused by so many headlines. I don't get it. So many people on our side still don't get it because they're good people. When the Army put out this crazy ad, we played this for you before on the show, I'm going to play it for you in a moment just to remind you, but when the Army put out this crazy ad, I remember sitting back and watching because so many people on the right who love the military and admire the military and admire service, they came out and said, I don't understand. Why would they be putting out recruiting ads like this? This is going to hurt recruiting. This is going to take some of the great men out of the army. Good men aren't going to join this. They're destroying the military over and over and over again. You've heard this on the right. Maybe you've said this. They're destroying the military, except they don't make ads like this to destroy the military. They make ads like this to build their own, to enforce the policies they want in. The people they're recruiting with ads like this are people who are going to follow orders in the future.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms.
I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age.
Sure, I'd spent my life around inspiring women. But what had I really achieved on my own? One of my sorority sisters was studying abroad in Italy. Another was climbing Mount Everest. I needed my own adventures, my own challenge. And after meeting with an army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way.
Yeah. They're recruiting for a specific purpose. These people destroy on purpose. And look, this comes down to the teachers as well. It comes down to our school. Gallup has a new poll out. Generation Z, the younger generation, 22% identify as LGBTQ. If we look at that number and we say to ourselves, oh my gosh, just at a base level, we're not even going to make enough children to continue the country if 22% are already taking themselves out of the baby-making workforce. Well, listen, the communist understands that that kind of endless propaganda will work on young people, has worked on young people, and the communist understands that it will mentally destroy young people, it will blow up the American family, we won't be able to make enough babies. The communist understands that painting an entire generation in rainbow colors will gut the United States of America. And elementary school teachers like this, that's why they do what they do.
Hey y'all, let me introduce you to our non-binary alpaca. The kids voted on a gender-neutral name, Alex, for them. Alex was there to help me during the really quiet moments when nobody would talk during virtual learning.
Yes, they were so quiet!
But then I also took it as an opportunity to teach my students about how to respect people's pronouns. Did Alex ever get misgendered? Yes. But then it opened up some teachable moments about what to do when that would happen. I started off modeling how to correct somebody, and then afterwards my students would correct each other whenever somebody would misgender Alex here. Oh yes, and here's Alex's friend, Lincoln the Llama, who goes by pronouns he, him. At first, my students thought that he had very feminine features, so they thought that he was a girl. And this is why we should never assume somebody's gender just based on what they look like.
These people are all destroyers. You know that, right? They're all destroyers. I know you're a good person, and I want you to keep that about yourself. But accept that the destruction is intentional, or we can never defeat these people. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And there's all kinds of that sick crap on TikTok and banning TikTok or making TikTok make the Chinese have to sell it. That was all in the news yesterday. Kara Fredericks, our tech expert we bring on the show, all the social media stuff. We're going to talk to Kara about it in a moment. What does she have to say about all that stuff? Before we get to Kara, let's talk about your timeshare. Let's get you out of that timeshare. I know you want out. You don't want to keep paying those annual fees. I know you don't. You don't want to pay the special assessments. You don't even go anymore. The kids are gone. You're sick of it. And you didn't realize you were going to get stuck in it for life. Call Lone Star Transfer and let them get you out. Lone Star Transfer will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. It is a family business, and that's just what they do. These timeshare companies have been running this scam for a long time. Stop paying those annual fees and start calling Lone Star. 844-310-2646. They guarantee it in writing. They give you a time frame in writing. Call them or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
First of all, this is not a ban on TikTok. I'm a grandmother of teenagers. I understand the entertainment value, the educational value, the communication value, the business value for some business on this. This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
I'm sorry. These are the people who lead the country. Tic-tac-toe, a winner. Anyway, for more in-depth analysis like that, probably a little bit more detailed, is Kara Frederick, Director of Tech Policy Center at the Heritage Foundation. Okay, Kara, with the exception of tic-tac-toe being a winner, could you explain more, maybe a little more detail about the bill, what's actually in it besides tic-tac-toe?
You know, I certainly hope so. So I'll try. So what this bill does is it basically forces ByteDance to sever TikTok. So it forces TikTok to not be connected to the Chinese Communist Party via ByteDance, its parent company, which is headquartered in Beijing, subject to the laws and policies of the People's Republic of China, especially the National Intelligence Law of 2017, which effectively renders any private company a in service of the state, in service of state intelligence work. And we can go on and on about those connections. But if ByteDance doesn't want to make that clean divestment, what the bill says is then it will be prohibited from being downloaded on app stores like Google Play, like the Apple's App Store, or attendant web services, so web hosting services. So if TikTok.com were to be just available as a website, that would not allow, it would basically be an end run around the bill. So that's the only reason why websites are included, but it effectively just offers ByteDance a choice. Cut your ties with the Chinese Communist Party through TikTok and ByteDance, or cease to exist in the marketplace as you used to. This is, you know, it's very simple. I think it really, really catches TikTok and ByteDance in a lie that they won't reach for that clean divestment option. That's all they got to do. It doesn't ban TikTok. It just says cut your ties from the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay, Kara, can you explain this ByteDance thing? Because obviously this is a company that's very familiar to you, but me, not so much. My father has never heard of these things before. You start talking to him about bites and he's going to look for ticks and things like that. Who is ByteDance? Why do we care about that? What is this?
Yeah, so ByteDance is the parent company of TikTok. It's, again, headquartered in China, which makes it effectively a non-private entity in practice. So while it looks like a private company, the Chinese Communist Party can say, hey, ByteDance, give us your data, and they have to comply due to the legal and governance atmosphere in China. What's more, and I think these two particular points are especially salient to your average American, like your dad, like, you know, my grandpa, is they have to know that ByteDance has one of three board seats in their domestic subsidiary with a card-carrying Chinese Communist Party member. That means sitting on their board is a Xi Jinping friend, a person who is a part of the Chinese Communist Party. Secondly, they have an internal Chinese Communist Party committee sitting on ByteDance that helps direct and influence the activities of the company itself. So add that to being headquartered in Beijing, you basically have a CCP-controlled operation. And guess what? It's in the pockets of your kids via TikTok.
All right, Kara, I'm going to ask another dumb question, but you always come on, so you're used to those. What does that, What does that mean? Obviously, it's very, very bad to have a bunch of Chinese commissars sitting on the board. But ByteDance itself, what do we think they're doing with TikTok, for those who aren't familiar, that is harmful to America? Okay, so a ChaiCom has a social media company. I still, as an American, as a parent, why should I care?
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's break it down. We'll talk data collection first, and then we'll talk influence activities. So when it comes to data collection, the way that they're using TikTok, and we know this, it was proven, they actually targeted the physical locations of American journalists. This was a project known as Project Raven, internal to ByteDance. So this is Beijing-based, Chinese-based engineers, China-based engineers that are trying to surveil and locate where Americans are physically, because they're journalists reporting on the misdeeds of TikTok. So they say TikTok's not a surveillance app. ByteDance was actually using TikTok as a surveillance app via IP locations. They were trying to figure out where these people were, who they're talking to try to detect whistleblowers. So that's just a small portion of the data collection and surveillance applications of this. And you look at the influence operations, they were pumping propaganda, censored information, but just propaganda to Americans in the 2022 midterms that were meant to stoke divisions. So everything you and I heard about with the Russia collusion hoax and that influence operations that Russia was supposedly conducting. No, the CCP is actually doing this in 2022 when they're actively trying to, number one, cheerlead for the regime, and number two, stoke divisions among Americans by pumping incendiary information into their feeds like that of abortion and whatnot.
Okay, that's very bad. All right, I'm going to play you a clip yesterday from someone I know, someone I respect, Thomas Massey, who was against this thing, and I want you to address his concerns. Here was Massey yesterday.
This legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous.
Okay, Kara, who does have that discretion? It's a bill. It's in the bill. Does this land on the president's desk?
Well, it's actually not in the bill, and we know this because we were intimately involved in helping conceive and shape this bill. And what it does, it has so many backstops. So he alluded to presidential discretion. No, there has to be a public process, there has to be a congressional process, and there are only four nation states that are named: Iran, China, North Korea, and Russia. And these are in statute. They would require an act of Congress to change. Title 10 is a specific statute, if anyone wants to look it up. So they have to meet that threshold, they have to meet the public process threshold, they have to meet a genuine national security threat threshold. And you know that I am very, very sensitive to government overreach, especially when it comes to weaponizing things like terrorism tools against the American people. This does not do that. The backstops are extensive, they are formidable. I have the bill with me right here. I would encourage everyone to read the bill. This is exactly what it says. Don't just look at the sound bites. And lastly, this is not a free speech issue. The last I checked, the First Amendment protections granted to citizens of the United States do not extend to the Chinese Communist Party. Why are we protecting the Chinese Communist Party and their quote unquote right to be in the pockets of our children? It's absolutely ludicrous. They don't let us do it over in China. Why are we letting an enemy do it here? You know, the government was made for these kinds of things. And if the government can't do this, which is the bare minimum, protect your kids, my kids, from downloading Chinese spyware on their phones, what is it here for? What are we doing here? Why am I sitting here on the Hill? Doesn't work. So this is just the bare minimum that the government was created for and should do.
Fair enough. Let us switch gears and focus domestically for a moment. Just one last question, Kara, because I can't help but remember a lot. I think about this clip a lot of Mark Zuckerberg, Big Cheese, of the biggest social media company on earth, basically admitting that the Federal Bureau of Investigation worked with him to censor information they didn't like. Here he was.
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. We thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
Okay, Kara, nobody was held accountable for that as far as I know. Elvis Chan isn't sitting behind bars. Mark Zuckerberg certainly isn't. So could you please explain to me why they're not just going to do all this again in 2024?
Yeah, it's very different. You know, I don't want to juxtapose this with the TikTok questions because I think they are very separate issues. We've written at the Heritage Foundation extensively on this. And again, as I'd reiterate, I am very, very sensitive to that weaponization of the government working hand in glove with these social media companies against the American people. But the fact of the matter exists, and other people have pointed this out too, we still have a moderately free society where we can have hold things like this up in litigation, where we could talk about this openly. That doesn't happen in China. They don't have the engaged citizenry that we have. The modicum of openness that we still retain as the once great country that we were, frankly, we know, you and I know, the America we grew up in doesn't exist anymore, but we're still hanging on to a lot of those values and some degree in the institutions. I think people are doing things right on the Hill for once. We should let them work when it comes to the TikTok question. But when it comes to Facebook, when it comes to these domestic companies, which I've long said act and see themselves as global companies, not responsible to Americans, that's a separate question that we should also address. And again, the Heritage Foundation, my team, the Tech Policy Center, has been at the tip of the spear for these sorts of oversight efforts with our oversight project here in the Heritage Foundation as well. And we will hold these tech companies to account as much as we can. It is a massive problem, and we've been getting after it for as long as we can. So hopefully in the next Congress, we'll be able to actually do something about it. Subpoena these guys, get them up there, hit them where it hurts in the bottom line, look at that potential executive liability, and target their ad tech model, which has helped them concentrate power and visit this type of censoriousness upon the American people. That is not right.
Yeah, you guys do great work at Heritage. I got to come back there and see you guys. I bet you guys have a big fancy office building. Kara, I'm coming back to see you guys soon at some point. I don't know why, but I'll see you soon. Thank you much. All right. Big day on all the Trump classified document stuff. My gosh, what happened there? Let's get a breakdown on that next. Before we get to that, let's break down this. We have to start taking more personal ownership of everything in a country that's kind of, I don't want to say crumbling, but where our institutions are on shaky ground. We have to own certain things, including our personal protection. Hoping for the best is not a plan. There's too many violent criminals out there now, and we're importing more by the day. A Byrna pistol launcher is the bare minimum everyone should have for a self-defense weapon. Me personally, I always have on me my concealed carry weapon and a Byrna pistol launcher. It is a non-lethal option. Everyone needs a non-lethal option. Shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds, but up to 60 feet. You incapacitate somebody for up to 40 minutes with these things. Everyone needs one. Legal in all 50 states. No background checks. Byrna sends it right to your front door. This is a basic thing. Ladies, when you're jogging, carry one. Gentlemen, in your car, carry one. By your bed, get a Byrna pistol launcher, all right? 10% off. BYRNA.com/Jesse. Go. We'll be back.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Music.
All right, today was a big day, supposedly a big day. I don't know. Julie Kelly was there for the whole classified documents thing for Trump. Thankful we have Bill Jacobson in here, which I'll call in a moment to explain all this to us. But Julie Kelly was actually in the courtroom, and she gave us this little audio bit letting us know what she heard today.
There were a lot of people in the courthouse today, Jesse, including Special Counsel Jack Smith and former President Donald Trump, sitting in the same courtroom again for the second time in 2 weeks. But one individual who is not there nonetheless had a major presence, and that is former Special Counsel Robert Hur, who testified earlier this week about his findings related to the willful retention, Joe Biden's willful retention of national defense information, high-level classified documents, but nonetheless, unlike Donald Trump, will face no criminal charges. Both the defense and Judge Cannon repeatedly brought up this phrase, arbitrary enforcement. It is very clear that Judge Cannon is aware of the double standard, not just with Joe Biden, but former presidents Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, and more importantly, former vice presidents Hillary Clinton, Mike Pence, and of course, Joe Biden. My prediction, Jesse, and I make a lot of predictions on your show, she will not dismiss the two motions before her today, but she will, I believe it's very likely, the Judge Cannon will dismiss this case based on a pending motion on for selective prosecution. It's very clear she is aware of it. She's very upset about it, as you could tell from her comments and conduct today. So that motion is pending on the docket. A hearing has not yet been scheduled, but I would not be surprised if she dismisses this entire case based on selective and biased political prosecution against one man, Donald Trump.
What's that mean? I don't know. We better bring in somebody who does know. Maybe he agrees, maybe he disagrees, but I know he'll be more correct than me. Bill Jacobson, founder of Legal Insurrection. He also is a law professor at a little place called Cornell. Okay, professor, what does any of that mean? Is that accurate? Is Trump going to be out of the woods? I know we thought he was in trouble here. What's going on?
Yeah, obviously I wasn't in court, but it seems very unlikely to me that she would dismiss the case based on selective prosecution. It is a pretty high standard to meet. The prosecution could claim there are different reasons why Joe Biden is not prosecuted. And there are elements of the Florida case against Trump that also include obstruction of justice. So even if he shouldn't have been prosecuted, they're alleging that he tried to hide documents, things like that. So I don't see the case going away, but I wasn't there. I couldn't get a feel for it. And I think oftentimes being in the room when people are saying things, it gives you a better feel for that. I would not be surprised if the judge is upset about it, but I'd be surprised that if she took the step of actually throwing out the case.
Bill, can you explain to people who are confused, and there are many of us who are confused, why isn't it just tossed out? Because to the layperson, it looks so cut and dry. Okay, Obama had these documents. I'm sure Bush had the documents. We know Biden had them. You can go Google image search it. They're sitting in boxes in his garage. So to the normal person, especially the hardcore Trump fan, they look and they say, okay, he had them. Everyone has them. Was he the other one prosecuted? It seems very simple.
Yeah, except that is what goes on every day in this country, that some people get prosecuted, some don't. If that were the standard, if that alone were the standard, then nobody would be prosecutors. Prosecutors have more cases they could prosecute than they deal with. So it's not just that one person got prosecuted and the other didn't. Were they essentially identical cases, and was one prosecuted for some nefarious reason, like political targeting? And we may all know that's why Donald Trump was targeted, and there's no question about that. But I'm not sure that meets the legal standard. That's why I'm skeptical. Should it be tossed for that reason, because other past presidents are treated differently? Yeah, I think it should at a personal level. At a political level, it should. I'm just not sure it's going to meet the legal standard that would hold up on appeal.
Okay, let's shift gears here to New York. In about 10 days, Donald Trump's Alvin Bragg New York trial is supposed to begin. Is it going to begin? Is he in trouble here? What is all this?
It's supposed to begin. He's got a motion pending. I don't think it's been ruled on that the court should wait till the Supreme Court rules on whether there is presidential immunity Although in the New York case, it's hard to see how there would be presidential immunity for things that his business did in allegedly covering up payments to Stormy Daniels. So I'm not really sure how a presidential immunity claim would play out in the New York case, but that's what's happening. I would expect it to go forward. I don't think that a judge in New York State is going to grant that. That case is a whole travesty, by the way. That case should never be going to trial. That case is essentially the prosecution advancing a novel legal theory to turn an old misdemeanor books and records violation into a felony so they could extend the statute of limitations. And that case should not have been brought, but it has been brought. And it's New York State courts, and it looks like it's going to go to trial.
Is he, honestly, it's probably a question I don't even have to ask. Is he going to be convicted? And if he is he going to prison in New York? I would assume the jury pool in Manhattan is not exactly going to be pro-Trump.
I think if he is put on trial in New York City, if he's put on trial in District of Columbia, maybe even if he's put on trial in Atlanta, it's going to be a very hard time for him to get a truly unbiased, neutral jury pool. I think it would be difficult anywhere, but particularly in those heavily politicized, heavily Democrat cities. It's tough, and that's one of the things we need to face as a nation. It faces, whether you describe yourself as Republican, conservative, however you describe yourself, you're not liberal and you're not a Democrat. And that means the court systems in a lot of these cities and the prosecutor's offices in a lot of these cities are lined up against you. And that's the reality. So I can't rule out Trump being found not guilty, but I would think he'd be found guilty just because of where he is and who he is.
Yeah, okay. But what about the immunity thing? Isn't the Supreme Court going to rule on that in April or something? Isn't he going to get immunity for all this stuff?
Well, if they rule on it, it clearly would affect the D.C. case. And that's the, so you got to remember, they've got four shots at Donald Trump right now. They've got Georgia and D.C. If the Supreme Court rules on immunity, that would get rid of the D.C. case. It probably would get rid of much of the Georgia case, but it probably isn't going to touch New York City case, and it may touch parts of the Florida case, but not all of it. So certainly if the Supreme Court rules in his favor, that's a big win for him. And I don't want to say it's not a win, but it doesn't relieve him of all the problems that he's got.
Professor, thank you so much. Appreciate it once again. All right.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's switch gears here from all the heavy stuff. Let's talk about food stuff with Chef Gruhl here in a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about inflation. We got the inflation numbers, but you don't need numbers. Oh, it was 4%, it was 8%. You don't need any of that. What does that matter? You buy groceries, you know what inflation's like. You know that you're poorer today than you were 2-3 years ago. You know that. Everyone knows that. The value of your dollar has gone down. It's not your fault. All we can do, all normal people can do, is prepare. Take the steps to prepare. That's what Oxford Gold Group is about. It's about making sure you are prepared no matter what comes in the future. And the beautiful thing about Oxford Gold Group, the gold coins, silver coins they mail to you, let's say, Lord willing, you never need them. Well, they're not chips. They don't go bad. Maybe your children will. You might end up saving your children one day, or their children after them. Either way, someone's gonna need them. It's a guarantee. 833-995-GOLD. They'll get it in your retirement. They'll mail some to your front door, but call Oxford Gold Group and let them take care of it. All right? We'll be back. Well, I don't know, maybe we should play taps or something. Taco Bell in Oakland, they've made the announcement that there's not going to be any more dining rooms, no more cash on hand. Now it's just drive-through or bust. And to be fair, I don't know the last time I've actually eaten inside of a Taco Bell, although I'm a Taco Bell connoisseur, but still, a sad day. Joining me now, the great chef, friend of the show, Chef Andrew Gruhl, host of the Calico Fish House. American Gravy is his Substack. Okay, Chef, for the heavy news, the more sober news, why can't you eat inside a T-Bell in Oakland anymore?
It's no longer about the gastrointestinal violence. It's now about the actual violence. You've got guys that are just mugging you on the spot for your chalupa, and it's happening all across America. But, you know, they invent this stuff in California, and I'm at the epicenter. Sad day for Taco Bell, I agree. But here's the thing. You know, they're closing these dining rooms because they don't want people to get robbed anymore. You know darn well now everybody's going to be lining up outside to just rob you one by one in a cascading drive-through line.
The solution is not closing up the dining rooms, but I do sympathize. Chef, can you break down the industry for us in a way that you will understand and we do not? Because it has been pointed out many times. My kids have even noticed it. That, you know, we used to go to McDonald's Playlands all the time when we were driving across the country. It's cheap, easy fun for the kids, and there was always a cool-looking McDonald's. McDonald's all looks the same now. It's all that same tan block. Restaurants don't look like they used to. Not nearly as inviting. Why?
Well, I think, you know, is it art imitating life, right? You know, the new design in restaurants is this kind of postmodern, depressing gray that we're so used to. Coming out of all the Bolsheviks are designing all this stuff right now because it's taking away any of the life, the color, the fun, the whimsy that once was kind of small business, restaurant focused America. And it's happening. It starts on this landscape of fast casual, quick service, and then it moves all the way up into full service restaurants. But you know what this actually is? I think you've mentioned this many times before, is that this is the beginning of the demise of small businesses in the form of restaurants. They target restaurants first because they know that that's what everybody thinks they can do. So most entrepreneurs start off in the restaurants in some capacity because they don't have a ton of expertise. Well, I'll just open a restaurant. So they target the restaurants and they terrorize them and they destroy them. They backfill all of that with government-owned property or government jobs, going to be state-run restaurants, so that the government takes over absolutely everything. And the first stage of that demise, sorry for the soliloquy, is just this kind of watering down of what once was fun and inviting and family friendly and turning it into something that feels more like a hospital room or a government building. You're eating in the DMV.
Chef, can you explain why most people fail? I understand the concept of wanting to own a restaurant. Who doesn't love a restaurant? Everyone loves to go out and eat good food. It looks like fun. I've said to myself before, oh, I'll start one day, but I won't. Because I know how many fail, and it's like all of them. Why do normal people fail when they try one? You've made so many go. How do they fail?
All right, so the reason that so many restaurants fail is because you've got so many idiots trying to run the restaurants, number one. A lot of people should not be getting into the restaurant industry. Number two, states are crushing restaurants. Not all states, don't get me wrong. Texas is a good place to own a restaurant. But in a place like California, it's just they take more and more and more money and they regulate you completely out of business. Real estate costs are incredibly high, and you're dealing with a perishable cost of goods, right? So you've got food that goes bad on the shelves if you don't sell it and serve it immediately. And, you know, unless you've got a ton of foot traffic, it's all over for you within a year. It's a cash-heavy business.
Chef, I only have a couple other things, but I cannot possibly get through this without addressing your wife in these cinnamon sourdough pieces of heaven. Well, anyway, here's the video.
Today we are making sourdough cinnamon rolls. Did you smell that through the plastic wrap?
I can smell it through the plastic.
Okay, I'm going to use it. I should probably invest in a better scale, Dave.
No, this one's good, but that starter is intense. Look at this. The smell on it.
And you know when your starter is active, if it doubles in volume within 4 to 6 hours of feeding it. It's just a simple combination of warm water and flour. And what happens is yeast in your environment, bacteria build up. I know it sounds kind of gross.
No, because the natural bacteria and the natural microorganisms right. in the flour and the water actually create this living, breathing. I mean, this is alive right now.
And you can make your own starter at home, or you can just go to your local bakery. I wouldn't mind giving you some, and then you can follow steps that you find on Google or Weber how to feed your starter and take care of your starter.
Yeah, it's like a pet, and you keep feeding the starter every single day. That's why you hear about like 100-year-old starters, because it's actually a combination of flour and water that you just you use a little bit and then you feed it.
Chef, I think that's the first time I ever figured out that the sourdough, which I love so much, is actually alive. I can't tell if I'm grossed out or amazed.
You should be absolutely amazed. Having a starter, right, which is just flour and water, and it kind of feeds off of the good bacteria in the environment, is the basis upon which you can bake breads, make cookies, make cinnamon rolls, anything. And the thing is, it's good for you. Even if you're a diabetic, you can have it. It's that natural fermentation. It adds a ton of flavor. And it's everything. So, you know, I would say every husband out there needs to show this video to their wives, because I'm telling you, it's life changing. I mean, our kids are just, you know, they're lifting up cars. They're so strong now because they eat this sourdough.
I believe it. Chef, you are the best, man. I'm getting out to Calico soon. All right.
Look forward to having you.
This weekend is St. Patrick's Day. Well, we're all going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And you know what that means for Light in the Mood if you've watched this show for any length of time. Hang on.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And look, it's an iconic video. I know it, you know it. You laugh, I laugh every time we see it. It's just every now and then there's a local news segment that takes the world by storm, and this St. Paddy's Day segment, one of the all-time greats.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Creighton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say, yeah? Yeah! Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. You're still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wards off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm gonna run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I wanna know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
I think maybe the best part is the serious newsman at the end. This is Brian Johnson. I'll see you tomorrow.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.